you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 6, 2022. I'm here at the WLUJ studios in Springfield. And it's been a while, Tim, since you and I were both together behind the microphone. I don't know, maybe a few months or...
At least. It seems like a long time, right?
I've had a lot of studio guests here.
Yes,
and meeting up with Don and Joyce last time and other people. In fact, for Testimony Tuesday, I might have a special guest, Lord willing, if I can pull that off. But I love coming to the Springfield studio here and driving around town and visiting with you. And actually, I started out with this verse because we're going to be reading from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. It's been a few weeks. Let's see, last week, Memorial Day, mm-hmm. and something the week before that. But we'll be picking up in chapter 3, and you'll be reading Try Tears, a powerful example of the importance of having passion when you pray and praying for people because you really care, and it creates turmoil in your heart and mind knowing that loved ones might not be following the Lord, or those that aren't saved that'll be saved. And I sometimes, Tim, when I meet like an unchurched person or somebody that doesn't know all the Christian jargon or some of my Jewish friends, I always qualify when I say, like, just say you're an unbeliever, maybe agnostic or an atheist. I'll say, hey, Tim, do you mind if I pray for you? And then I'll preface it. Now, I'm not saying I'm praying for you because you need me or I'm better than you or I'm closer to God, so he'll hear my prayers. What I'm saying is I believe that there's a God who loves you, who cares for you, and he allows us to approach him. So I try to always disarm them, because sometimes they might think, I don't need your prayers. Who are you to pray for me? And so I try to, what do they say, preclude the objections before they would start saying, well, who do you think you are praying for me? I try to approach it. No, I'm going before this God who loves you, who cares for you. Is it okay if I, you know, share some of the needs that you might have? And usually it disarms them. And most of the time they'll say, oh, sure, pray, you know. And
it's like that clarification. It's almost like a bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a relationship bridge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I learned from that.
So I don't know, maybe for somebody tuned in today, you're going to take that to heart and say, gosh, I've never thought about it. I just say, hey, can I pray for you? Mm. But recognize they might not understand what that means or your intent. And especially if they're maybe hostile to Christianity or hostile to Christians, it might be because they have been mistreated or felt abused or verbally. There might be some baggage that they're carrying. And so you want to disarm them and just say, hey, I just want to ask God on behalf of you for healing or for that job or that situation. And anyways, I have a lot of Jewish friends that I've used that, you know, because they always wonder, why are Christians so excited about their Jewish friends or Jewish neighbors? And I just say, oh, Jesus was Jewish. You know, some of them don't know that. They think he has blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, they see that picture on the wall and they don't understand. No, he was probably much more olive skin color or darker and from the Middle East. And he was Jewish. They think that well, no, he's Christian, right? Well, no, he grew up in, you know, Bethlehem, and, you know, his ministry took place in Jerusalem. He was around from Nazareth and the Galilee region, but, you know, it's always great to preclude those objections. That comes from evangelism explosion, you know, one of those hot-button terms that sometimes we'll use that have multiple meanings, like, are you born again? Well, what does that mean? That could mean a lot of different things to different denominations. You know, do you speak in tongues? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? What do you mean, born again, or have you been baptized? You know, full immersion, or, you know, sprinkled? Or, you know, I mean, there's just, you got to be careful what language you use, because it can be a stumbling block or misunderstood. But God's word is never misunderstood, is it, Tim?
It never comes back void.
Yeah, that's true.
What it says.
Well, this was an interesting verse. I thought it fit well with today, but it also fits with a couple comments I want to make about you. But let me reread this. This is 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Moreover, as for me, and I'm going to insert, as for me and our radio board, as for us, far be it from us. Now, this verse says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. And how I want to use this, I don't want to, it's always dangerous to lift scripture out of context, but I like these words because I know how much I and our board prayed for you and for you to be the one to come and take on the position of operations manager. Right. And we prayed a lot. And I don't know if I've ever told that whole miracle story, how you happened to just be looking at a posting from the Illinois Broadcasters Association. And I just happened to contact them and ask, could I put a post, even though we weren't at the time members. And the gal that ran things at the time said, oh, sure, we'll put the post on. And I think that night or the next day, you just happened, I think once a year, you kind of just look at it and see what's going on in Illinois. This is at the time when you're in your 17th year serving a successful Christian ministry in Minnesota. You just happened to see it. And it was kind of interesting. You just thought, oh, I'll just respond to that. And I'm sitting at the dinner table with Holly, and my phone goes ting. You know, there's a little announcement. And I said, wow, somebody just responded to that announcement about our need for an operations manager. And I said to Holly, I said, I'm going to have to pray this up some more. But do you think I should go call this individual? And I said, I like his name, Nelson. That's my middle name, Tim Nelson. And I thought, I'll just call him up. And, well, you know what happened. I think we spent about three hours. Yeah, I think it was like 3 hours and 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, I think it's the quickest call I've ever gotten back from anything I've ever done. Yeah. Other than maybe when I had my first job at McDonald's, you know, when I was 16.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But that was kind of neat, because we had been praying at the time, you know, Lord, raise up somebody with some radio background, some experience in the ministry, somebody that knew how to work with the equipment and had a morning program or had some on-air experience. And that was the beginning of a process where we heard some of the voiceover work that you had done and so forth. And then I think we followed up with some of the references, and then we had you and Beth flown in, and I think we had about 3 days of a whirlwind. You got to meet all the board members and volunteers and see the station. And so I just think how this verse came back to me. We didn't cease in praying for you. And so here you are. And I want to make a clarification, because it might be this week, certainly by next week, we're going to be sending out a newsletter to the WLUJ family of stations. I think a little bit under 2,000 of the donors, the ongoing givers, people that are connected to the ministry on a weekly or monthly or at least a couple times a year basis. And so they'll get the announcement about the new station manager, Joyce Minky. But some people had said, what's happening to Tim? And I'm like, oh, no, Tim's still on. He's our operations manager. And I said, as the ministry continues to grow, I said, we'll probably have some other managers or part-timers or full-timers. I said, but Tim has been kind of multitasking, wearing a lot of caps. And I've been, in some ways, as the general manager, functioning somewhat as the station manager and doing too many things. And so this allows me to step back some and allow you to have a co-laborer with you, boots on the ground, I've been saying a lot, another person here in the building assisting. And We have a story in this month's Prime Life Times, the June edition, where you'll see a picture of Joyce and I, and formally announced that she started June 1st, and we'll have more to say in that newsletter. So if you're part of the WLUJ family of stations and you haven't contacted us for a few years or made a donation or stopped by, you might want to call in so you can be included in the special mailing. It's a real fun one. It's a two-pager. So just call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. There's some really fun pictures. There's one in you and you out in front of the flower boxes. Of course, the WLUJ lifting up Jesus sign kind of got edited out, but it's a good
picture. It's only so much room on the page.
Yes. And then there's Joyce, Donna Leland, and I, and our staff on the front page, and some of the visitors to the open house. So it's a great newsletter. We're excited to get out, but it formally announces Joyce Mankey as our station manager, and we're so pleased and excited with the vision that she's going to bring and her skill set. She's been working, some people didn't know this, for 7 years already with the ministry, doing the bookkeeping and being our office manager, but now she'll take on a more involved role and be here every day. So
she was in-house before I came. I came here, well, it's just been about 1 year, June 7th of 2021. So she was here in-house, right?
Yeah.
For 2 or 3 years or however many.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about this. And Joyce is going to join us, if everything goes as planned, on the Thursday Mark and Friends program. And we'll just have a good conversation about her coming to town. And I'm just excited to have her here.
Yeah.
I've been talking to her on and off for almost a year now. I've maybe only been around her 5, 6, 7 times in person. So it'll be great to have her in the office and for folks to stop by and to say hello to her.
Yeah, she's really looking forward to working with the listener and advancing some of our goals, and has just a fantastic heart for ministry, and she's a prayer warrior. So we're very excited to have her on board. But we're keeping Tim. Tim is not being replaced, everyone. You know, I think only a few people just wondered. They said, well, with Joyce coming in, what about Tim? I said, Tim's the operation manager.
Right.
He oversees equipment and technology and music selections and does enough work where we're having him being able to be a little more focused, so he's not running around trying to do as many things as I do all the time.
Right,
so.
Right. I'm not sure whether anybody could do that. But it would be great to have Joyce, and all of her past experience is going to do us so good here in town.
Yeah,
so thank you, Joyce, for accepting the call and coming here, and can't wait to talk with you on Thursday.
Yeah, Joyce Mankey, our new station manager, officially June 1st, but boots on the ground around the 20th, and that'll be explained in an upcoming newsletter. And if you'd like to receive it, just call us, 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. Well, as you know, for many months, we've been reading from our book, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Oftentimes, Marianne leads out with the reading, but I'm in Springfield today, and I wanted to get back in the studio with Tim, appreciate his heart and his gift, and we spent a lot of time praying him up and getting him and Beth here. And so, yeah, you're coming up to your one-year anniversary.
Yeah, on the 7th,
here.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Hard to believe.
Yeah.
Well, we're in Chapter 3, Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early, and this section is titled Try Tears.
Bob Pierce, 1914 to 1978, the founder of World Vision, a huge Christian relief and development organization that works to tackle poverty in more than 100 countries, once wrote on the flyleaf of his Bible, "Let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God." God's leaders pray out of hearts crushed by the people and situations that cause God's heart to break. God told the prophet Joel he wanted his spiritual servants to intercede for their people with tears. It's from Joel chapter 2, verse 17. He gave the same message through Isaiah in chapter 22 of that book, verse 12. When they refused to do so, God saw their selfishness as, quote, sin that will not be atoned for. Likewise, the prophet Samuel took his role in praying for God's people very seriously when he wrote, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." 1 Samuel 12, verse 23. Wesley Duell adds, "We must so identify those we lead, both by love and by commitment, that we carry them on our hearts every day of our leadership. We must touch his throne constantly for our people. We sin against the Lord if we fail to do so." Think of the spiritual leader, Jesus, whose heart for hurting people was summed up in two words, Jesus wept. John 11, verse 35. Consider how he became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53, verse 3. See him lament. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Luke 13, verse 34. Notice the tears tracing down his cheeks when he contemplated the pain of the people. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, from the Message. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Luke 19, verse 41. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Hebrews 5, verse 7. The lonely trail of tears is a path high-impact leaders travel. David wept over insults to God's name. Psalm 69, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah wept over the plight of his enemies. Isaiah 6, 9 and 11. And Josiah wept for his people. 2 Kings 22, verse 19. A crowd gathered as a result of Ezra's tears. Ezra 10, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah has been labeled the weeping prophet. Hear the deep burden in the words as he writes, "Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn, and horror grips me." Jeremiah 8:21. "And oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears, I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." Jeremiah 9, verse 1. Out of anguished love, he warned his people, "If you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock will be taken captive." Jeremiah 13, verse 17. Jeremiah wrote another book of the Bible that, because of its tear-stained content, became known as Lamentations. In it, he records God's grief over the sinfulness of his people and the destruction of Jerusalem. One of its astounding features is the weeping of God results in tears streaming down Jeremiah's cheeks. "This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears." Lamentations 1, verse 16. "My eyes fell from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city." Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11. "Streams of tears flow from my eyes because my people are destroyed. My eyes will flow unceasingly, without relief, until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees." Lamentations 3, verses 48 to 50. Of course, the Apostle Paul's ministry is splattered with tears. He summarized his ministry in Ephesus by reminding the elders that he, quote, "served the Lord with great humility and with tears. And for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." Acts 20, verses 19 and 31. He told the Corinthians, "I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears." 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. The thought of his people, the Jews, not coming to Christ caused him to write, "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel." Romans 9, verses 2 to 4. William Booth, 1829 to 1912, was an unconventional, controversial zealot for Jesus. He lived the life of a spiritual soldier as the founder of the Salvation Army and preached to the least of the least. Two of his proteges set out to found a new work, only to meet with failure and opposition. Frustrated and tired, they appealed to Booth for permission to close the rescue mission. General Booth sent back a telegram with only two words on it: "Try tears."
Wow, and that was the title of this section, "Try Tears." And it got me thinking, Tim, I don't know if it's true of you, but as I look back at the many times I've prayed, I don't know if I've been moved to the point of great tears. There's been times where I passionately prayed and, you know, it was a dire situation or somebody was ill and you didn't know how many days they had to live. And so I was moved to like tears. Wow. But to be so passionate about someone's salvation, I sometimes wonder, gosh, Lord, help me see through Jesus's eyes, through his lenses, how he wants everyone to come to know him. Help me be that passionate or intentional, or have God's heart. God wants all to come to know him. And sometimes we can look at people through our bias or through our self-centeredness or through anger or whatever and not wanting their best, where God wants everyone to come to know him. And I just think that sometimes we have to maybe examine our own hearts to see, do we have the heart of God for people?
Yeah, you know, you're talking about crying during a prayer. I don't know so much as crying during the prayer, but maybe if I'm talking with my wife, or maybe I'm talking with my accountability buddy or something, and we bring out what we've been dealing with in our personal lives and what we've been praying about, and then I start talking about it. And that's sometimes where, in fact, I was talking to him the other day and just talking about a certain issue, and I said, oh, I just feel like, and I couldn't get it out. And here we are, two guys, like, I really don't want to cry, man, okay,
sure,
you know,
sure.
But that's sometimes when the crying comes out for me, I think.
Yeah. I see that with Jason on many a Friday program or when we're in the studio. If we have a special guest, he'll wipe tears away from his eyes all the time. He has no problem, or he doesn't put up any walls. He just, when he's passionate about something, and I mean, it always touches me. I thought, wow, you know, when he feels passionate about something, he just wells up, he wipes away the tears, and he just keeps teaching. In fact, last Wednesday when we had the group in, and he was talking about repentance and saying that'll be our next topic, he was talking about some situations and circumstances people were in, and he's wiping away tears, and he just kept talking away, and I thought, well, I mean, I love that about him, but...
I don't think I could do that.
Oh,
it's hard to regain... Yeah. Sometimes once you're in that crying zone, it is for me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it about them. And another thing, I really appreciate your voice and your delivery and your sharing and your reading. And you might have a little Italian in you. You had your arm going.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think people say that about me when I read or I talk over the air.
Well,
I
use my hands. Have some Italian in you.
That's true.
You've told me that.
I didn't know that until a few years ago.
Right? I could see it.
But I loved your delivery. You have a great voice. And I was just watching you that as you were reading, and I think drama people do that. They use their body. They use movement to make expressions. And I thought, I don't know if you were trained that or that's a natural thing, but it comes out in how you share and what you had to say. So really appreciate that long reading. It's a fantastic book that we highly recommend. In fact, we have copies here at our Springfield studio and also at our Champaign studio. They're $10. It's a discounted price. You can't get it for any cheaper. And we'd encourage you to pick up a copy, maybe one for your friend. It's a great read titled Prayer, The Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders by Dave Early. Read along with us. Usually on Mondays, we read some excerpts from this book. And I'm here in Springfield today and appreciate Tim joining me. Tim, our operations manager, and we have a new station manager that you'll probably be introducing on Thursday.
Thursday, I can't wait.
So, hoo-hoo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Tim Nelson with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.